I am really glad that you chose to worship with us today. If you're here for the first time or you're joining us online, know that you are welcome in this place. My name is Taylor Williams, and I am the student pastor here. I do want to encourage you, if you're here for the first time, to pull out a connection card in the pocket in front of you and give us your information. We especially like getting your email address so that we can include you on our weekly community news, which tells you all about the ministries of our church and how to connect. I do want to take a moment and thank again all of our EPIC students, all of our leaders, their parents, and their families who make EPIC possible. I never want to miss an opportunity to share my gratitude and the real honor that it is to work alongside such an amazing group of leaders. To Mackenzie, Abby, Austin, Tevin, Brittany, Ellie, Angela, those who are with me week in and week out, and the parents who do so much, thank you. Amen. And thank you to our amazing group of students who we get to serve. Thanks for keep showing up. Quickly, before we jump into the word together, I also want to thank you, Mosaic family, for the ways you've embraced and poured into our students over the last 4 years of my ministry here. This is our third EPIC Sunday, and hasn't it been such a joy to see how our students have grown in their leadership and in their gifts? And this year, we got to add some of our Kid City students. You saw one at the door. You'll see one a little bit later. Such a joy to welcome our little ones, too. We thank you, their church, for allowing them space to use their gifts and to grow. So last week, we wrapped up our series through the book of Matthew. We were challenged to filter our reading through the truth and the knowledge that Jesus is King. Christopher reminded us again and again that the gospel is the good news that Jesus is the long-awaited, anointed King who is advancing God's heavenly order to the depths of our souls and to the ends of the earth as we follow him as Lord. Next week, we'll begin a new series through 1 Corinthians. If Matthew taught us that Jesus is King, 1 Corinthians brings us face to face with what that means as a community. How do we live this thing out together? So my goal today is to build that bridge. Build us a bridge from Matthew to 1 Corinthians. Last week, Christopher challenged us to take the leap of faith and live into the resurrected life, which reshapes family, purpose, and presence. Church, we're taking that leap into the resurrected life. And where we go together. We can only go together through the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today, we will be in the book of Acts. If you grab your Bibles and turn there, we'll be in chapter 2, but I want to set the scene a little bit. The beginning of the book of Acts starts with Jesus' ascension. Jesus is speaking with his disciples at dinner, and he tells them in chapter 1, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about." He tells them, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Then he ascends to heaven. Jesus, our King, is seated on the throne, and he leaves us with a promise to send a Spirit. Then the day of Pentecost arrives. Many of us know the story of Pentecost. When the Holy Spirit was poured out on all of the people, they were speaking in different tongues and languages, but yet the Spirit allowed them to understand one another. We call this the birth of the church, and that leads us to where we want to spend most of our time today. So if you have your Bible, turn to Acts chapter 2, starting in verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So off the bat, we see that when people encounter the living God, they choose to surrender and pursue him with their lives. But they don't do so in a vacuum or in isolation, right? They do so and are encouraged to do so within community. Pastor Ryan Chase says it this way. According to this text, when God saves people, God forms those people into a dynamic community whose members share their lives together. God's saving work produces a dynamic community in which those who share in the spiritual life of Christ also share in the everyday stuff of life together. Here in Acts, we're given four key things to focus and devote ourselves to. That's where I want us to center today. This is how we will walk into 1 Corinthians. For our analogy purposes, think of these four things as the wooden planks that build our bridge. Teachings of the apostles, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. These things give us a glimpse at the early church and the blueprints for family life within the church. A few summers ago, Tevin and I hosted a prayer and worship night at our house. We fit about 40 or so people in our garage. One of the traditions our family has for worship nights like this is what we call a worship board. We started when Ivy was around 2 as a way for her to participate. We had a poster board where she and Beau could draw or color as we worshiped. And when we hosted this worship night at our house, we invited our Epic family to use our garage walls as their worship board, to write prayer, scripture, to draw pictures as they felt led to during our worship time. This message is and was one of my favorites. It's my favorite for 2 reasons. Number 1, as a longtime reigning champion of last place in every spelling bee, I appreciate the misspelling and correction effort in church. I feel it. Number 2, this message speaks to the deep heart and longing that Tevin and I have for our home and for our ministry. And what we see here in Acts, that church really would be family. I think we have to stop, though, for a minute and think about how we've historically thought about family ministry within the church. I think for several years and generations, the idea of family ministry or discipleship has centered mostly on what is done in and around the biological or legal family and home. In the church, it has been seen as what the youth or children's pastors do to equip parents to do the work at home. Many books have been written, podcasts recorded, curriculums produced around helping parents to disciple and engage with their children in their homes. That idea is where whole ministry movements like Focus on the Family and others were birthed out of. Now, as a youth pastor, of course, I should tell parents and guardians that you need to be talking about the Lord in your home. You should care, and you should be talking about it. Deuteronomy 6 actually commands it of us. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down and when you get up." So you should be talking about God in your home and with your children. It should be a part of your daily routine. So family ministry is what happens within the home, but I think it's an incomplete definition. Family ministry is family as church, but it's also church as family. Amen. And today, church as family is what I want us to focus on. What does it look like that we as a church community are a family? And then what does our family life look like together? Remember, church, we're taking the leap into the resurrected life. Where we go together. Amen. We can only go together through the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. So looking back at the text, we see our blueprint. for family life. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, devote ourselves to the apostles' teachings. The Bible is the Word of God. Eliot told us there's no substitute. This is where we get to see the teachings of the apostles and so many others. We should be devoted to the teachings and the stories found there. It's why we as a church go through whole books of the Bible together. It's why we meet together and study the Word. We discuss it through whole church Bible study. We need to understand the Word of God and how it applies to our lives and how to pull from it what God's purpose and truth was for the original audience and for us today. Because church, God's truth, real truth, is unchanging. It's also why, like I said, we devote ourselves to talking about it in small group, to go deeper. And because church is family, everybody in our church is doing this. Our children in Kid City read God's word together, talk about it, and learn and grow in their faith. Our EPIC students meet every Wednesday night to study scripture together. They learn the character, will, and mission of God. Every member of our family is called to be devoted to the teaching of God. And how great an opportunity when we get to sit together and hear what each one of us is learning. Our family has great conversations, just asking Bo what he's learned from his Wednesday night small group. Or asking Ivy about what she's learned in Kid City and watching her act it out sometimes. Like the time where she pretended to kick her brother into the fiery furnace because he refused to bow down to her. So church, our first point is to devote ourselves to the teaching of God's word together. Through Sunday worship, small groups, even just grabbing a few other people or joining other families around a table, talking about the Sunday sermon or what God's doing in your life. Which brings us to number two. We devote ourselves to fellowship. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, which can be translated in English to sharing, fellowship, or communion. The Bible Project team says this: God enjoys perfect fellowship within himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are in eternal relationship and always participate in acts of self-giving love towards one another. So the fact that we serve a triune God shows that he's relational. He is constantly in a self-giving relationship with the Trinity. And it shows us then that we are called to be a relational people. Acts tells us all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another who had need. Remember, koinonia can also mean sharing. A couple things here to point out. This does not mean that we should just all sell all of our stuff and start over from zero. Or even that we are somehow to distribute the wealth. That's not what this is. What it is a community looking at its resources that each one has and then giving to those who have need. Remember, at the heart of this community is sacrificial love. It's a sacrificial love that Jesus poured out on the cross. It's not communism or socialism. It's loving those around us like Jesus. And that love is not a mere sentimental feeling. It sacrifices for the good of others. So part of how we embrace the cross is by embracing the idea that my stuff isn't my stuff. It's God's stuff. And he entrusted it to me to be a blessing to those around me. Jesus didn't just love us at the cost of his stuff. He loved us at the cost of his life. And so real Christian koinonia calls me to a costly, self-sacrificial love. We all remember Hurricane Helene. We're still remembering it, right? I think that during disasters like that, we can really see fellowship arise. I know for our family, we were able to charge our phones at Cindy's take showers and spend the night at Caroline's. We were able to wash our clothes, have dinner, and do a puzzle with the Clausens. So look at your life. What are the resources that you have to offer your community? Maybe it is financial resources. Maybe it's as simple as electricity or a skill that you can lend to someone else. Maybe it's just your heart and your willingness to listen. God has given you resources and gifts that are needed in this community. I think it's important to remember, though, that while we go together, like any family, it isn't going to be easy. Can I get an amen from anyone who's ever taken a family road trip? Not to mention that this type of community, that family, the family that God builds, takes people who would naturally be enemies, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, brings them together as family. Think Matthew the tax collector and Simon the zealot. As the Hamilton musical puts it, two people, diametrically opposed, foes. And yet, when encountering King Jesus, taking the leap into the resurrected life, they're not only able to work together, but become brothers. Another part of our fellowship is sharing in real life stuff together. We don't always have to separate the ordinary and the spiritual. While worship and prayer nights are deeply spiritual ways to fellowship with one another, I've also encountered the joy and the love of God around a good table at a Mexican restaurant, or during game nights at the Mills house, or in the car, me and Austin, listening to music on the way to the retreat with our Area 57ers. God cares deeply and does connect with us in the deeply spiritual times, but God is also a God of the ordinary, everyday moments that we as a church family get to encounter together. Caring for our rest with a habit of Sabbath keeping is also vital to our fellowship. Can I tell you something I'm learning about Sabbath? Sabbath should be about play and joy. Amen. Chris told us a few weeks ago about the echoes of Eden, those deep hungers for paradise lost. Sabbathing with joy and play, I believe, help us to get a taste of that again. The late Clark Pinnock puts it this way: God is wonderfully different from what our natural thinking tells us. For this God delights in social existence, ecstatic dance, creativity, and spontaneity. That's why we as humans love to play in the midst of the seriousness of ordinary life. Play bespeaks eternity. Play is a gesture of hope. It takes us momentarily out of the realm of suffering and lets us glimpse deathless joy. It's a gesture of hope in the face of ugliness and destruction. Sabbath also helps us understand our limits. Remember that every one of you has resources that are needed in this community. It's not just on our staff or a few select leaders to care for the needs of our community. To make space for Sabbath and play in my life, I might have to say a few holy no's. But the beauty of church as family is that my holy no's make room for someone else's holy yes. So church, first spend time resting, playing, and spending time asking God what resources you have to bring to the family. And then invite your church family to fellowship with you in and through them. That brings us to number three, devoting ourselves to the breaking of bread. While this does bring up imagery of communion, and that is a part of it, it's not the only part. Remember when we did our Bless series, E stood for eat. Eat together. Verse 45 says, every day they continued meeting together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Devoting ourselves to the breaking of bread does not simply stop at sharing in the Lord's Supper together. Just like the early church, we are called to share meals together, to invite each other into our homes or to Chick-fil-A, to share a good meal. There's something about a good family meal, isn't there? One of the reasons we offer food at some of our epic events is that there's research that shows eating and talking together actually disarms our anxiety. We have found that when students are eating together while in their small groups, they're actually more comfortable and willing to open up. I want you to close your eyes for a minute and imagine a family dinner. Maybe it's Christmas or Thanksgiving. What images or memories come to mind? Hold it there. Now open your eyes. Don't fall asleep on me. For me, I think about Christmases at my Mimi's house. They were never around a table. Always in her den, on couches or recliners, or even a pallet on the floor if you were a kid. It was always consisted of barbecue and Brunswick stew from our church's annual barbecue that Mimi would buy, freeze, and save for us to have at this meal. I don't have time today, and I know my cousin is watching today, but you should grab me at some point because I have a great story about a deep freezer and scaring my cousin, who was the only boy out of all of us at one of these meals. It's a great story. Told the students earlier. They can vouch. My point is that family meals like this should, well, consist of the whole family. All generations coming together to pray, eat, share stories, and laugh together. This is the kind of breaking of bread we as a church family should be devoted to. Those of you in the room from the older generations, asking yourselves in this moment how to impact and be a part of the emerging generation's spiritual lives, here it is. They need spiritual grandmothers and grandfathers. Amen. If the church is family, then we need those family meal type moments to be poured into, to hear your stories and see how God has been faithful for generations. Going back to the idea of breaking of bread, meaning communion, I want you to think about what comes to mind when you think of the Last Supper, the image you get. Maybe you recognize it as this picture, something like that. Well, last year, I was working on decorating our dining room, and I wanted a piece of art that would represent the idea of Jesus inviting us to the table, to the breaking of bread together, and I kept finding this traditional one. But it wasn't the vibe. It wasn't it. It wasn't the feel I was going for. So I found this one instead. I just love it. It hangs in our dining room now. And for me, it represented many of the meals around my own table and many of the meals I've shared in your homes, around your tables. It also helped me to feel deeply the intimate way Jesus draws us to himself. At the table, we encounter Jesus in a way that all of our walls begin to fall away. At the table, we come face to face with a resurrected Jesus, and we take that leap into the resurrected life. Being devoted to the breaking of bread can actually help us do all four things that we're commanded to in Acts. We gather together around a table with a great meal, while we discuss God's word together, share in fellowship and everyday highs and lows of life. And no meal is complete without a really good prayer, right? So point number four, we are to be devoted to prayer. Prayer is powerful. Prayer is not only where we have the opportunity to share our whole selves with God, but also an opportunity where God gets to share his whole self with us. I think that each of you would probably question the quality of Tevin and I's marriage if we never talked to each other and never listened to each other, right? We as a church are called the bride of Christ. So our, then, marriage should be questioned if we never talk to God and never listen to him. In prayer, we get to enter into an already occurring conversation between God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let me say it again. In prayer, we get to enter in a conversation that's already happening between God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Think about that. We get to have a conversation with the creator of all things, the Alpha and the Omega, the King of Kings, and more, and more. He wants us to. He delights in us entering into that conversation. That thought alone should humble us and build a hunger in us. Prayer is transformational. Chris has been giving us some awesome tips through the Matthew series on how to have a conversation in prayer with God. I hope you've been entering into some good conversations. I know I have. Remember, he gave us 3 steps to living life on the Father. Step 1, thank God that he is the central figure of the story, of our story, your story. Then spend time telling him your fears, your resentments, your hungers. Get honest with God and yourself. I've heard students and people say, I don't really need to tell God all that. Doesn't he already know? I think the better view is I think that he actually wants you to know. He wants you to be face to face with your own heart. The truth is that we can't even start a journey if we don't know where we're really at. Think about a map. How helpful is it if you don't know where your starting point is? And finally, humbly sit in the silence and listen. Prayer is a two-way conversation. I don't know about you, but nothing kills a relationship quicker than having a conversation with someone who is not willing to go back and forth in conversation with me. I don't think we can truly honor God if all we ever do is talk but don't listen. God is no more than a punching bag, or what I had as a child, a scream pillow, just a place to express our emotions safely. God is and should be much more than that. Pete Gregg, the founder of the 24/7 prayer movement, says, in prayer, we use our will. He says something that I lost, so sorry. In prayer, we use our will to come into agreement with God's will. I found it. Sorry, let me say that again. In prayer, we use our will to come into agreement with God's will. We pray, let your kingdom come. When I sit and get honest with God about where I really am, I sit and listen to his voice. He gets to rightly align my heart and my life with his will. And since church is family, the beauty of prayer is we can all do it. You want to know who's really amazing at being honest with God? Kid City. They will tell God about every friendship, dead pet, sick great-grandma, and all their hopes and dreams. We can learn so much from our little prayer warriors. As we come to the end of our bridge, we've laid each board down. We as a church family are to be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. As we begin to enter prayer now, I want you to have a conversation with God. Ask him to show you your place in the family. Look on both sides of you, behind you, in front of you. This is our family. This is who we enter into the next series with. Church, we are taking the leap into the resurrected life. Amen. Where we go together. Amen. We can only go together through the power and the grace of the Holy Spirit. Every week in Kid City, they pray what they call a declaration prayer. And I want us to do it together as we wrap up. But I needed some help. So I've asked one of our prayer warriors, our tiny prayer warriors, to help us in it. So will you welcome Ivy Williams as she comes to lead us in prayer?
Will you please stand and pray with me and repeat after me. Thank you, God, that you are good. You made me on purpose for a purpose.
You made me on purpose for a purpose.
And I am your kid.
And I
You know me, love me, and lead me. You do wonderful things.
You do wonderful things.
Thank you for showing me.
Thank you for showing me
that you are awesome.
You are awesome.
Can tell of your wonder.
My life can tell of your wonders.
Amen.